Sometimes hearing that you feel grounded makes you a little uneasy. Happy Martin Luther King Day, and welcome to your evening edition of Inside My Box, Episode 6. Hello, attendant. I'm here for my follow-up appointment. Welcome back. Have you read over our return policy? Can I get back my time if this is useless? We've never found that people who come to the Trauma and Healing Center and commit ever feel like they want to get back their time. If anything, they think it's the best investment they've ever made. Investment. The best. A rush of insecurities just boiled up inside of me, and suddenly, I don't know who I am. What I am made of. How do I taste? And I fight myself to believe that, yes, you know these answers, but no, I can't get them from you. I would just love a verbal confirmation. I mean, honestly, the return policy reads like Apple's terms and conditions, and she was thick.
Not really.
Let's just scroll to the bottom and hit agree. I've been waiting all day for this. To begin. We all begin. All have a beginning that have an end. Do we move in cycles? Cyclically, only making minute changes throughout the years. Who studies us? Our change. Who is around long enough to map us out? Stick the course. Who? Is it you, Moon? Dare I dance with you, Moon? Dare I align myself? My cycle is aligned with yours. My body in tune with your flow. We flow. Now, we cycle together, me and you, under the moon. I was onto something in the ocean healing room. Can we head back there?
Do you usually show up to places and just assume you know what's going on?
I mean,
do you often fantasize or daydream of how you want things to play out?
Doesn't everyone?
Answering a question with a question is usually a defense mechanism.
Yes, I do. Do others?
To varying degrees, yes. I wonder how much energy you put into that rather than actively playing out the move.
I find parts of you attractive. Sections like your elbow, tricep, and forearm. But not all of you. Because I remember the parts of you, the parts that don't work, the fingers that don't quite reach me, my parts. There are also other things, people things, maybe even brain things, like my brain.
So we're gonna go in this room and you're gonna start with your active listening again.
I'm so good at that.
Okay, it sounds weird, but I grew up in a way where I was kind of shown, you know, be your best self, like when you're out on the street. Like, I was supposed to do that, or my sister, who's 2 years older than me, was supposed to do that, while my eldest sister was kind of the one that, like, she had to make sure we did that because she went out and did whatever she wanted. And she knew that she wanted the world to see us in a certain way that, like, she didn't care what the world thought, but she didn't want people to maybe treat us the way they treated her. So my eldest sister, who's 11 years older than me, was very much like an almost surrogate mother figure. So I learned a lot of values and things like that, but what was different than my friends was I think a lot of responsibility was put on us because we had a single mother household. And I think some kids had a little bit more freedom to just be the kid, while I didn't, I guess certain things were taken on.
My sister also served kind of as a surrogate mother for me growing up, because my mother was also a single mother and she also worked. And so it did kind of cause these really interesting lines of who do I listen to sometimes? I mean, I always listen to my mom, but I'm sure that there were moments where I looked to my sister before responding to my mother. What about you, TJ?
I guess it was cool. My dad's a pastor. I have three siblings, two siblings from my father's first marriage. So I have an older brother, older sister. Then my father, he was a deacon at that point. He met my mom and I think like dated for like, I don't know, 6 months and they got married. And like a year and a half later, 2 years later, I came about, and then he also became a pastor. And then 13 months after I was born, my youngest sibling, who is also a pastor now, was born. So there's four of us. But really, I was only really raised with two of my siblings. When my sister was like 15 and I guess I was 5, she ended up moving to upstate New York live with her mom after she had got pregnant and she didn't want to stay here anymore. And so, not warn me, but I think my father was probably really strict with my older sister. And I think he wasn't as strict with me on certain things. Probably because I think he saw that, like, A, I was a different person and I was very strong-headed, but just what happens when you are really strict? People want to rebel in a lot of ways. And so pretty sure how my sister was raised was they did a lot of the opposite things. But also, again, we were very different people. I remember being like a kid, like right before she moved out, and like she was supposed to babysit us and she was like sneaking boys in the house. And of course, like, I'm not supposed to tell, but I'm like a kid. Like, you tell a 4-year-old, 5-year-old not to tell, first thing they're gonna do, mommy, daddy, Nicole had a boy in the house and the door was closed. Like, what else?
Here, there is a place for my head, but there ain't no bed here. There's food, French fries, rice, but there ain't no love here. I've got a friend, yes, I've made a new friend, but friends don't really last here. Don't come save me. Don't come save me. 'Cause it's not safe here.
When I came to live with my mother, they didn't know who I was, so they always thought I was a stranger. So in order for me to get them to like me, so I did their chores for them.
Did it work?
A little bit.
Also, you're the oldest though, right?
Yep.
Did you have friends when you moved to with my grandma? Your mama?
No. I sort of had one friend named Julie, but she was mostly Aunt Tina's friend.
Did she turn on you that day Aunt Tina turned on you?
Yeah.
God damn it, Julie. God damn it, Julie. Oh, man.
Did I tell you that story?
You did tell me that story.
Oh.
It makes me sad. But you love your siblings so much. Like, the kind of love you have for them, I asked if you do their chores still, but I mean it, like, because you do so much for them still, even now.
It's always the way I was raised, because Grandpa and Grandma, that was like, we always stick together. We always, you know, we worked on the farm together. So we all, you know, had each other's back. You're supposed to have your sisters and brothers back. And that's what I tell you guys. That's the only thing that I install in you guys to have each other's back. Because in the long run, that's all you got. It's your sister, your brothers. Everybody else, they'll turn on you. But your sister and brother are supposed to always have your back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, attendant. Do you think we could have a...
Yes. Now I feel like the ocean healing room would be very appropriate.
See, the thing is, I understand that my siblings are supposed to be there for me regardless, but that doesn't mean they're there for me the way I need someone to be there for me. And what does that mean? Who can I go to then? And do I just spend my life looking for people to go to when my siblings could have easily just done that thing? Sometimes I feel like I'm asking for a lot when I just want someone to support me the way I need to be supported. And maybe that is the way I'm saying I need to be supported. I don't know. I feel the brush of you on my leg. Or an ant. No, that's definitely just you. Your soft caresses. You're discovering parts that have not been felt that way. Your way. I come outside to feel you, and sometimes I can't. But when I feel you, and I open my eyes and look up, and it's you, the sky, and you, and me. I feel you. Sometimes barely, gently, desperately, outside. We could stay in here if you feel like you need more time, or we could take a listen to what some of the others have to say again. That sounds good. Let's do that. You know, the thing about healing is, it takes time. It takes a lot of listening, and a lot of dissecting, going back and forth, finding your joy, your comfort, and really appreciate that you got to leave and learn.
So, for me, it was like, once I left the nest, which was all the way till college, I didn't realize certain things weren't cool or certain things weren't, like, okay, or certain kids didn't have certain experiences, especially going to a school where a lot of the quote-unquote black elite go. They had, like, no idea of single parent. Some of them had no idea of single parent households or being in a lower income bracket or not having certain programs.
I'm extra on my parents. Like, I'm extra. And, like, I hear them talking about me. I'm like, who? I ignore people in the store. But, like, you know, my mom's pretty good at my dad's getting better. But, you know, and I think I have, with my, like, nibblings, I had been, like, even before I was like, they, them, I was like, don't call me aunt. I have issues with those type of titles, just period. Like, you can just call me Tab, TJ, the Great, all of those things. Like, my sister's youngest child has issues with it. But I also have issues with my brother, who doesn't. I'm like, I'm not coming around your house. You have young children. You can establish this really early. And, like, we can be done with it. But, like, I'm not going to be responding to your wife or you being like, oh, this is your aunt. I know it's not. I'm not your aunt. Like, you know, are those different things. So that's been fun. For most part, the kids they're happy that they don't have to use titles. Besides Dree, she's just like being her used to whatever it is. But like,
I started to realize what I really wanted it. Once I started doing some self-discovery, I started to realize that sometimes my ideas of being averse or being the person who receives a lot in order to kind of serve my partner was coming from a place of a little bit of trauma, of being in a place where I didn't really grow up feeling like I could assert my dominance or feeling like I did have power. in certain areas. So I associated that in like my sexual life. But now I'm starting to realize that there is a lot of things that are powerful about me. Not saying that it's not powerful to be submissive. That probably is the most powerful role. But I wasn't really taught those being together.
These leftovers, these feelings from other times, these are the cuts, the gentle to aggressive slices of the skin, the both instant and infinite effects of your leftovers. These are the leftovers, those feelings from other times, those are other cuts, the gentle to aggressive slices of the skin, the both instant and infinite effects of your leftovers. What's that for dinner? I'm not sure. Can you remind me? I think they were leftovers? Yeah, I'm not quite a fan. Maybe we could cook something new? Yeah, let's give it a try. These leftovers, these feelings from the other times, these are the cuts, the gentle to aggressive slices of the skin, the both instant and infinite effects of your leftovers. Your leftovers. Your leftovers. Clean your leftovers. Throw out your leftovers. Would you like to go to the ocean healing room? I know this is gonna sound silly, but yes, and can I talk to my mom? Of course, I'll bring her with us. Mama, tell me about the red dirt.
The red dirt is the road we walked on. Because our houses were not close together. It's like we didn't have, our neighbors were far. So you walked to the on the red door to the store, or there was a store that came to you once a week. We call it the roller coaster, which was a grocery store on wheels. If you get all your things that one day. If you ran out of stuff, then you had to walk to the store or get in the wagon. The horse and the wagon, and on the red dirt, the horse didn't go on the road. They walked on the red dirt road.
Mama, my kids aren't gonna walk on red dirt roads, but I'm gonna teach them a lot of what you've taught me. But it's not gonna be the same. There are variables, there are differences, there are things that change. And I find that often when we hold on to these stories, we forget that every new person, every new ear, every new voice changes it just a little bit, augments it just a little bit, and feels it just a little differently.
Yeah.
You know,
I think the good thing was that my grandparents raised me first, because I saw a different strength in them that I saw in my mother. I saw them, working on the farm and stuff, and my grandmother was the one, at home, and my grandfather was the one that went out in the fields. But my grandmother worked in the fields too, but my grandfather had the field and work. Mm. That's the first generation that I saw before I went to live with my mom.
And I'm so grateful for all of the generations that you've exposed me to. I hope you don't think that I think any less of you. If anything, I think more of you every day. Every time I hear about choices that you made, especially in comparison to choices that your ancestors made, I just think about how you've changed too, you know? And I'm gonna change. And I hope that's cool. Why don't we go back and just finish up in the other room? Y'all head over. I'll be right there.
Being able to know what kind of space I'm in. Like, I know what might go down in my mom's house. I'm able to be like, all right, guys, well, I gotta go, you know, because this is not the energy or the conversations that I may want to have at this moment. And I'm able to leave, and I have that freedom to do that. But when it's in my space or something like that, I'm able to say, like, hey, no, we're not doing that here. Or, you know, sometimes my mom, like, will say stuff, and it's like, Ma, come on, no, like, cut it out, like, no, that's not either cool to say, or like, no, why, where did this come from? Like, you know, that thought process is not fair, or that's not cool. So I'm able to say to my mom, like, hey, Ma, like, come on, stop. Let's nip that in the bud.
I feel like everyone knew that it was nip that in the bud and not butt, and I don't know. Did you know? That's all for today. Don't forget to look over your receipt. So this, like, return policy, it generally means that though you have attended and had a full session at the Trauma and Healing Center, you aren't finished, and you are always welcome and encouraged to return. Oh, great. So I just check inside my box. This has been episode 6 of Inside My Box, with songs, poems, and music by me, Janelle Lawrence, featuring interviews of TJ Chester, Z Jones, and my mother. Story and show design by Janelle Lawrence. Please make sure to like, follow, and rate us on your favorite podcasting platform. And if you're interested in subscribing, oh yeah, definitely do that. It's been great getting to know you, and I can't believe we're only 2 episodes away from the end of season 1. Whew. If you're interested in attending the virtually live recording of Inside My Box episode 8, feel free to reach out at the link below in the details. Can't wait to hear you. Can't wait to see you. And maybe one day we'll share space. So much love. Jay.